Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
OpTest is a fantastic supplier of high-quality, innovative instruments for the pulp and paper laboratory. You can see their full line at www.optest.com. They are located in beautiful Hawkesbury, Ontario, Canada. Reach them at 613-632-5169. That's 613-632-5169. Or again, their website, www.optest.com. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 7th of October, 2013. The title is Race and Gender. Some of you were surprised last week at the quiz questions related to salespeople. I asked you if race or gender had anything to do with your view of salespeople. Some of you even wrote to me asking why I had included these issues. Newsflash, race and gender have to do with every human interaction there is. The best capture of this set of issues is found in Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches. If you don't want to read it, you can find it on YouTube. I thought I grew up without prejudice. An employer had the resources and interest in training me as to how wrong I was. That employer was Procter & Gamble, and the time was the middle 1970s. P&G has been and still is very sensitive to trends throughout the world. At that time, the mid-70s, they implemented internal actions that addressed some emerging trends. Executives of the company had looked around in the early 1970s and noticed that nearly every employee was white and male in a world where that was no longer acceptable. They decided they had to do something about this, and further, they could not afford for this to be just, quotes, tokenism. This realization forced implementation of several plans. The first was that hiring standards would not be lowered. Employees of race and gender must still be of the highest caliber. Second, the existing employees needed to be trained to deal with race and gender issues. The second issue was more challenging. One might think that only issue would be to make sure that the traditional white male employees did not treat those not like themselves in a degrading manner. That was part of it, but the other part was that the traditional white male employees would not be allowed to treat the new employees of color and gender with any sort of tokenism. In other words, no degrading words or actions, at the same time full accountability to be expected of the new employees. This was a fine line, let me tell you. In 3 years, I spent 6 weeks at the company expense being trained on these matters. I think it is some of the best training I ever had. One of the outcomes is what we called, quote, white on white, end quote. This means that two white male employees traveling together or meeting together should call each other out for making jokes or derogatory comments about blacks, which is what we called African Americans in those days, or females when the blacks or the females were not present. In other words, if you were honest with your attitude, your comments reflected this, no matter who was present or not present. Another was clean up our language, especially gender language. Ever since then, I've always used effort hours instead of man hours, unless forced to do so by a client. And internally, we adopted S/HE instead of the pronoun he. It amazes me today to see what little adoption of these kinds of principles have occurred in nearly 40 years since I was introduced to them. I am especially surprised how far behind major companies who have obviously hired many people of color and many women are as compared to my own experience. And by the way, in my own company, I practice these matters. We have had people of color, but we don't have any right now. The highest paid employees after me are women. Now, I said I received all my training at P&G. I did have a preview of what was to come, however. While I was at the university in 1970, there was a psychology professor named Dr. Banta. Everybody from every school took the bearded Dr. Banta's class because of his grading policy. There were no tests, and you gave yourself your own grade at the end of the course. I probably don't need to say that his class was held in the largest auditorium on campus. In the early 1970s, ROTC, that is Reserve Officers Training Corps, was not popular. The military was not popular because of the Vietnam War. Every winter, however, ROTC had a very fancy banquet with a guest speaker. Dr. Banta was invited to speak the year I took his course. He came in on Monday and told us about his experience with a Saturday evening soiree. Dr. Banta was the guest of honor. He showed up dressed appropriately in a tuxedo with full flowing beard, a basin of water, a razor, shaving cream, and a copy of Dr. Seuss's The Sneetches. As he read the book, this was his speech in its entirety. He shaved off his beard. He received a standing ovation. Your comments, please. You may take our weekly quiz online, or you can do so from your phone by texting 854-766, followed by your comments, to 22333. That is 854-766, followed by your comments to 2233. I kind of flubbed that. I'm going to do it one more time. 854-766, followed by your comments, to 22333. For safety this week, does any kind of human prejudice stand in the way of your meal being safe? Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papari Tallow Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Conmark Systems Incorporated is an Atlanta, Georgia-based company serving the pulp and paper industry. Our goal is to provide continuous improvement solutions to mill operations utilizing Six Sigma principles, programs, and solutions for variability reductions through application of distinct equipment and services. Conmark Systems Incorporated believes that providing our customers with top-of-the-line products is essential, but not enough. Therefore, we offer solution programs rather than individual products. Give us a call today at 770-300-0224 or visit our website at www.conmark.com.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 14th of October, 2013. Why LinkedIn is important to you. Disclaimer, my company and I are not affiliated with LinkedIn in any way other than that we use their services. Let's look at it this way. You buy insurance for you and your family's health, your car, your home, your life. You don't have any insurance for your career, and no one will sell you any. If you are like most people, you have deluded yourself into thinking you are indispensable, your company will never close your facility, and your company is done with downsizing exercises and so forth. It is called denial. If you want to know how that is working out for your fellow toilers in this industry, call any of the 1,000 employees at the Cortland, Alabama mill of International Paper. And I'm not picking on IP, they made the correct business decision. There is one action in particular that can help you prepare and mitigate such actions when, not if, they happen to you. Don't get me wrong, the correct word is when, not if, for it is when you turn about 55 years old you are most vulnerable. This action is to be fluent in LinkedIn. It amazes me how clueless people are about LinkedIn, found at www.linkedin.com. LinkedIn is a permanent repository of resumes and information. You should have your profile there now. Headhunters are trolling LinkedIn 24 hours a day looking for candidates. The beauty of LinkedIn is that it started early and has millions of members, so it has become the de facto depository of human resources and other information in many, many industries, not just our own. You need to be there before you need to be there, and you need to understand how it works. I am convinced that such fluency could shorten a job search, again, when you have one, not if, by weeks, if not months. I'll give you an example of how illiterate people are about LinkedIn. Papari Tallow Publications runs nearly 50 groups on LinkedIn. Occasionally, I invite specific people to join specific groups. On many more than one occasion, they will write back on LinkedIn's internal message system and say, "Thanks, Jim." What they needed to do was check the box on the invite to automatically join. They are not fluent enough to do this, so nothing happens. At the time you have lost your job, you are way late in getting to know LinkedIn. You are playing catch-up, and your time is short. Spend a few minutes with LinkedIn every week and you will be in good shape when the time comes. Another issue, understanding your social networking sites. LinkedIn is nothing like Facebook. LinkedIn is for working adults, largely white collar, although I've seen many blue collar folks there too. And I mentioned that there are groups besides just your profile. You might want to check out some of ours. The Cellulose Community, which we started in 2008 there, has over 3,100 members from around the world. Our cluster of specific groups, the Tallow Tech groups, are growing nicely. We even have one for advertisers called Advertising Arguments. There are two kinds of groups, open groups and private groups. All of ours are private. In other words, we have to approve your participation in each of our groups. Open groups attract folks not necessarily interested in your issues. For example, our cellulose community at one time was attracting folks interested in blowing cellulose insulation into your attic. That is not quite what we had in mind, and we turned down their membership request. The groups are important. I don't understand why anyone would belong to an organization with annual dues when through LinkedIn groups they can receive quality information on a daily basis on subjects particularly interesting to them. It is a matter of tradition, I suppose. For a long time, Wikipedia was considered inferior to printed encyclopedias until a number of studies proved otherwise. So add a little insurance to your family's livelihood. Invest some time in becoming fluent in LinkedIn. Simple quiz this week. We're going to ask you how long you've been on LinkedIn. You can take it on the website. For safety this week, there are many LinkedIn groups devoted to safety issues. Find some today. Be safe, and we will talk next week. NIP Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
Bright is the leader in high-density extruders for your wet waste problems. Located in Hopkins, Michigan, USA, Bright has a solution to dewater your sludge. You can find them online at sebrightproducts.com. That's sebrightproducts.com. Or telephone 269-793-7183. That's 269-793-7183. Tell them you heard about them on Pulp and Paper Radio International.
This is NIP Impressions for the week of the 21st of October, 2013. The title is Preparation. As summer turns to fall here in the Northern Hemisphere, I'm reminded this is my 64th observance of the autumn seasonal change. Now, granted, I do not remember all of these, but I dare say I remember probably 60 of them and could tell you at least a small bit about each one, starting with November 1954, when my grandmother, died in an accident. She was overcome by natural gas due to a faulty water heater that had flamed out. In my professional seasons, this change has many times, as well as in the one in the springtime, been marked by a certain lack of preparation on the part of my employers in my early days, and in the second half of my career to date, some of my clients. This is amazing, for in a manufacturing setting with any history, the same occurrences happen year after year. For instance, in older mills, you can be certain the facility has a negative air pressure as the building is sealed up in the wintertime. This results in quite impressive stalactites and stalagmites of frost accumulated in every crack and crevice. Other more severe process problems can arise, from freezing of slow flow and near ambient lines to performance problems with outdoor systems which really should have been sited indoors. Regardless of the seasonal change and the unique problems your mill faces, it is inexcusable in these days of cheap electronic memory and ubiquitous computing power to let these matters ever be a surprise again. You have a chance of being prepared for these matters once and for all by following a few simple steps. First, choose a department that will be responsible for recording these issues. Most likely, it will be maintenance or engineering. Then the designated individual in that department records all the problems, their solutions, and the date each year the solution must be implemented. This can be done with any calendar software. However, it is preferable that you do it with a central repository available to all facilities within your company, say an SAP or whatever your company uses for central control. Then, as each year ticks by, the appropriate and responsible departments can be notified in time to do the proper preparatory work in advance. I know of no one that is doing this, yet it seems so simple and so cost-effective that everyone should be. Am I missing something? There are many things that are a surprise, but the seasonal change is not one of them. It happens every 3 months, and the September and March ones bring the most changes. What is your experience? Have you kept track of these matters? Let us know in our quiz this week. For safety, winter brings slippery sidewalks, ice falling from roofs, and all sorts of other hazards. Do you have a record of the hazards in your mill, and are you prepared for them? Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Paparitalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA. Oh, excuse me for a minute while I step inside the control room. Ah, that's better. Now, please be patient a few more seconds while we pay the bills.
RMR Mechanical is a merit shop contractor whose principals have over 90 years combined experience. Licensed in 19 states, RMR Mechanical works with process industries and utilities with special expertise in boiler maintenance and repair. Simply put, RMR Mechanical provides the best value to ensure your money is effectively spent. We perform as planned. For more information, call 770-205-9646 or visit us at www.rmrmechanical.com. We look forward to helping you succeed.
This is Nip Impressions for the week of the 28th of October, 2013. The title is Contracting. Over the decades, I have seen many varieties of services used by mills which were contracted to outside firms. Maintenance, logistics, environmental testing, and so forth come to mind. For instance, nearly every mill minimally has one or two contractors who supplement the maintenance forces. The area which I have often thought would make the most sense to contract, yet is done only rarely, is maintenance stores. There are several companies which do at least a partial job of providing these services. Fastenal comes to mind, but I'm not aware of any company that provides a full-service maintenance store solution. In an area where three, four, or more mills are within a 4 or 5 drive of a central location, it seems like it would make a great deal of economic and performance sense. Motors, bearings, and pump parts would be attractive items to consider for such a scenario. I can think of several places in the U.S. South, Wisconsin, the U.S. Northwest, and Europe where these conditions exist. Keeping motors in pristine condition is a special challenge. They need to be kept in a nice, dry atmosphere with a regular rotation program. They are expensive, even the 50 horsepower in smaller sizes. Cutting the inventory of these by sharing the spares with several mills should be an economic winner for everyone. In these days of predictive maintenance, having spare motors 3 or 4 hours away should not affect uptime. You'll know at least that far in advance if you need one. Further, if you have some of today's remote monitoring systems and link my theoretical storeroom with your monitoring system, they will know exactly when you will need one. They could have a motor well on its way to you before you have taken the machine down. The same system could work for many other items as well. In a recent talk I gave, I discussed farm machinery maintenance. I pointed out that farm machinery has risen greatly in price and complexity since I was a boy, yet the stores kept on hand by the local dealer have dropped significantly in quantities of items as well as cost. They have been able to do this by using overnight delivery services pulling from a central store located near an overnight delivery central hub, such as Memphis, Tennessee, or the Cologne Bonn Airport in Germany. Now, we won't tolerate waiting up to 15 hours for a critical part, but if the scheme I have outlined is followed, we won't be required to either. There is big money here. After the investment cost of the mill and the cost of raw materials and finished goods inventory, the maintenance storeroom is the next largest requirement for cash. It is also a place fraught with theft, loss, and losses due to poor storage conditions or inventory control. It takes people to manage it. My vision is a facility that not only properly stores and accounts for valuable items, but one that can help maintenance by preparing kits of repair parts for maintenance days. For instance, say you need to replace dryer felt roll number 75. If the central stores has the information already, all you have to do is tell them you plan on replacing dryer felt roll number 75. I would have expected central stores to tell you that dryer roll 75 is nearing the end of its useful life because they are monitoring the vibration of every rotating item in your mill. It is only your decision whether to place it on this shutdown or the next. You make the decision and central stores prepares the kit. Additionally, several days before the shutdown, central stores sends you a pre-work package electronically. This package tells you several things. First, it describes the exact procedure for removing and replacing dryer felt roll number 75. Next, it gives you an authorizing requisition for you to electronically sign and process for any special rental equipment such as a scissors lift. Central stores already knows if you have a scissors lift available or whether one will be needed to be rented for the day. Finally, it tells you which mechanics on your staff or your local contractor's staffs have the skills required to change dryer roll number 75. I hope this column has left you feeling as if your current maintenance management protocols and systems can be more nearly associated with blacksmith shops of old than with techniques expected in a 21st century pulp or paper mill. Embarrassment is a great motivator, sometimes even more so than saving money. Yes, this can happen now, and it will obviously save lots of money when it does. Everything exists to do this today. All that is missing is senior leadership in one or more companies willing to execute the idea. For safety this week, I obviously saved for now the idea that Central Stores will also publish a safety sheet unique to the replacement project at hand, including specific lockout tagout procedures. Be safe, and we will talk next week. Nip Impressions is written by Jim Thompson, spoken by Jim Thompson, and is copyright 2013 Papa Ritalo Publications, Duluth, Georgia, USA.